We know hunting for good coffee can be frustrating and time-consuming. And with all the confusing labels out there, it's hard to know that what you're buying is actually mindfully sourced and truly making a difference in people's lives. That's why we put together our Perpetual Joy coffee subscription. Over the last 15 years, Joe Bean Coffee has built friendships with award-winning coffee farmers, ones we trust to consistently bring us amazing coffee year after year. Coffee tastes best at the peak of harvest, which is why we run our program like a CSA, regularly sending you a rotating selection of in-season coffee. You pick how many bags and how often you need it. We do the rest. And you can feel good knowing you're directly supporting small-scale coffee farmers. Go to JoeBeanRoasters.com for details.
This is Evan Dawson. If you like conversations that take you beyond the headlines, join me on Connections. Every day, we dig into the issues shaping Rochester with the people living them, researching them, even trying to change them. No hot takes, no shouting most of the time. Just real conversations to keep you involved in your community. Listen to Connections wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to another episode of Getting Real with Bossy. We are your hosts, Kelly Bush.
And Kelly Metris.
And there is some background noise today because I am doing multiple jobs as business owner and podcast host and babysitter. So you may hear some extraordinary. You may hear some bluey in the background. So if you do, it's...
I've heard for the time. I have heard that Bluey is one of the best television shows ever created.
So good. It really is good.
I'm kind of upset that I missed the Bluey flow because of my kids' ages. For all the shit I had to watch.
Right.
From what I've told, Bluey is very well done.
Yeah. Yeah. You got SpongeBob and I get Bluey. It's wonderful. I know. That's why I said it. if you hear that in the background. That's just the realness of us, because we have to do things when we can do them.
Yeah.
But
You're still incapacitated, but you're up.
I am.
Right?
Mm-hmm. I'm still in a cast, and hopefully that'll come off in the next couple days, and I can be a little bit more mobile, but still not walking for another couple weeks.
So all the conspiracy theorists out there, she really did have her surgery.
I did. I can send you pictures if you're into that stuff. I have some really gory pictures I can send you.
Is this an inappropriate time to talk about side gigs? Because I feel like you could make a lot of money online with those pictures.
Trust me. Well, I'm thinking not so much with those ones, but I'm just going to work on my scar and make sure it looks really pretty because it's 6 inches right down the front of my leg from and it goes halfway into my foot. So I really feel like I'm going to have some good content there.
There you go. A little extra money. Go on a vacation. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, because my feet are not extraordinary. They're not ugly. They're just not anything. They're just feet. And I think this will really make them stand out.
No,
you have a fun tattoo going down the middle.
This just went completely off kilter.
Did it though? I mean, is it really off kilter?
I can usually swing things around from anywhere, and I'm having difficulty. It is my fault. I brought it up, so it's my own fault.
I think it's about knowing what you're good at and what your strengths are. So I think that totally fits in with what we're doing today.
All right. I'm in. I don't even know where to go next. I feel like maybe we should just start over. So today, we'll just jump in that we're interviewing Jasmine Jonte.
Mm-hmm.
And she's super excited.
Yeah. I love that she got her background in education, which I think is always a great, I always say, you need to work in a school at one point in your life. You need to work at a restaurant at some point. You need to work in some type of retail. You need those three experiences to really be a functioning adult, certainly.
I think all of those experiences expose you to so many different types of people at once.
Uh-huh.
So it's not a different type of person at a time. It's large quantities of different types of people all in one setting. And if you can manage that well, you can manage anything well. And I think that's why those things are set where it's like, yeah, you should work at hospitality because you can't get that experience in many other places. I always said that teaching was the closest I ever got. Of course, you know, we worked in a different type of school than average, but the chaos and the constantly being on your toes and the pivoting and never knowing what was going to come next, that's what I thrived in. So it was the easiest for me to train into.
You can plan and train for emergencies. No business, in my opinion, other than those three, go from zero to suck in seconds. And you need to make decisions immediately. And often not the ones that you're trained to do, because those just don't fit the situation that you're in, because they never do. I can go through so many like therapeutic crisis intervention trainings. I'm like, this is so wonderful. I could teach it. How often do they actually use those? Not often, because you have to do what's right in that moment with the people surrounding you. So.
You, Ellie, again.
You should teach that. I should teach that. I'll figure that out. Because one thing that Jasmine does is she teaches people how to hone in on what they're good at. And then her and her program creation create these amazing products and programs that you can then sell. So all the things that we often think that we are so good at, she helps you actually get that done, because we don't have the time for that. Let's be honest.
And let's be honest, we've all thought about it. Every single one of us is like, we should sell this information. We should make a worksheet. We should have this on our website. Make it a PDF. Like, we've all talked about and thought about ways to diversify our income streams, especially in the past 5 years, of knowing that things can pivot at any point in time. So what can we do that's a little bit more consistent? And we're all so busy that we don't do it. So this is an opportunity to learn about a program that will do it for you, which I find fascinating because I'm busy.
Well, I'm very excited to hear what she has to tell us. So stay tuned if you want to learn.
Or maybe we'll just keep talking about random stuff that has nothing to do with it.
All right, I'm gonna hit stop right now.
Hi, I'm Kelly.
And I'm Kelly,
the host of Getting Real with Bossy, the real, raw, and honest podcast about small business ownership. With our experience, 9 businesses and over 25 years, we continue to bear it all and share what we wish we had known.
We move past the must be nices and start getting real. Come along as we interview small business owners and get the true story.
Leave with another tool for the next time you feel alone on this journey.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Getting Real with Bossy, the podcast that talks about what it's actually like to be a business owner. Today, we're joined by Jasmine Jante, founder and CEO of Creation, where she helps experts turn their knowledge into transformational, revenue-generating online courses. With a background as an award-winning educator and Teach for America alum, Jasmine built her company around the idea that great expertise isn't enough. You also have to know how to teach it. Over the past 6 years, she and her team have produced more than 120 programs and 1,500 lessons, reaching over 100,000 students worldwide. Jasmine, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
We are so glad to have you on. This is a topic we've talked about many times. We've talked about how we can do this for ourselves after interviewing amazing people, and what can we do to put together courses, and we are always stuck. So this is perfect timing.
Well, and as busy people, right? Like, you have all these great ideas. And as entrepreneurs, that's how our brain works, is we're constantly creating and improving. And we talked about this in our last episode. You know, sometimes it's a hindrance, but also a superpower. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, oh, I could teach these things, or I have this knowledge base, or I have this expertise. And then you're like, okay, next week. Okay, next week. Okay, next week.
Well, and I always find the most interesting and heartfelt entrepreneurs are ones that want to keep going and share that knowledge and help their industry grow. So this is so important, but we just don't have the time. And knowing where to find somebody to really help that out is tricky.
It is.
Especially in the world that we are in now with content, with all the other things going on, it's nice to see that there is just somebody to go to. So very excited.
Yeah. Anytime an expert comes to me and they're like, I'm having trouble like productizing what I know. I can't see the forest for the trees. I have so many ideas and I just want to cram everything into a program. To me, it's like green flag, because if you weren't a true expert, then you wouldn't have that problem.
Right.
Right. But when you really have an expertise, the other side of that is it's hard to teach what you know because you know so much.
Where do you start?
Right.
Where do you start? Yeah. It's a really good question. And I always start with the offer, believe it or not. Like, it's not about the curriculum. It's not about the client experience. It's not about, like, all those ideas are wonderful and beautiful. And the most important thing is, how is this going? What's the offer that's going to convert, that people actually want to buy and invest their time in so that they get the result?
So you'd say the very first thing is kind of figuring out the audience, like who you're selling to and what they want to know.
Exactly. Yeah. So your offer, you know, it's like, what's the result they can expect to achieve, and who is they, who is the student inside the program? Getting really specific and granular about that. That's step one. I also kind of included in the offer is like, what's the price? You know, like for this person, how much is solving this problem worth to them? What feels like a steal of a deal, if you will? And what's the process? So what's included to help someone get from A to B? All of those things are majorly important, because, I mean, a lot of people will like build a program before they sell it. And for some people, that's the right call. But usually, not always, but usually the better call for someone just getting started is to actually create an offer. What's the thing you want to sell? Who are you selling it to? What's the promise? And actually sell it before you set out to build a slide deck or workbook or modules or record a video or, you know, figure out what you're doing on Q&A calls. All that stuff can come later. Like, first, make sure the thing you're doing is actually something people want.
So it's kind of like a marketing plan. I mean, when you're marketing a new product, you know, the first thing you're doing is figuring out who your audience is. So it's really just another arm of your business.
Yeah. Yep.
And probably so tricky. Oh, sorry. Go. Keep going.
I was just going to say, sometimes the audience is the same. Like, I work with a lot of people who are service providers, and sometimes the program that they're building is for the same audience as who they're serving in their primary business. And that's a lot. That's an easier lift than if you have a secondary audience. So, like, for example, you know, photographers often want to build a program that teach other photographers, but day to day they're serving, you know, families or brands or whatever kind of photography it is that they're doing. That's a harder lift than, say, the person who runs a podcast agency and they want to teach people how to do it themselves. Because they're serving kind of the same, they're both serving business owners, just different types of business owners. So, it's a key distinction I think people who are just getting started don't realize. Sometimes when you're serving a different audience, I feel like you're building a different business.
Yeah, and if you're selling what you're already selling, it's got to be way easier than starting over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because you're creating a whole new business plan if you're selling to a different set of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fascinating. Look at that. All right. I've already got to start at square one. Just back up everything we've ever done, Kelly.
It's got to be tricky too, though. I kind of liken it. I have several friends looking to purchase houses right now, and I don't know how things are out by you, but here it's terrible. And they go into some of these houses and, you know, you have these owners who think their house is worth so much more because they're so invested in it and all the changes that they made with it. And I imagine that might be tricky sometimes, where I might think what I have to offer is incredibly valuable, but finding like what it is that actually needs to be shared and what that price point is got to be a tricky thing for you. Because you're not just dealing with people who are just selling a product, they're selling themselves, really.
Yeah. It's a challenging thing on many levels. You're right. Some people come in and they overvalue what their expertise is. And a lot of people, I'd say more people, undervalue their expertise. Especially if they're heart-centered and they really just want to help people and it's more about the impact than the income. They can tend to undercharge, which also ends up hurting the client, because we all want to We all want to buy something, especially when it's something that we're expecting a transformation from. We want that program to be reassuringly expensive. You know, not so much that it's unachievable, but not so cheap that we don't think it's worth the time, right? So like finding the right price point is a bit of a sweet spot. And just like with anything in business, you gals know, like it takes testing. I was just talking with a client a couple days ago and we built their program, or I guess just we revamped their program about a year and a half ago. And with the revamp, they increased the price. They doubled the price. Like they really, like they went for it and it was selling, but they still, like the conversions weren't quite where they wanted them to be. So they added a payment plan and now their conversions are through the roof. So it took them like two steps to get to where they wanted to be. It's testing, right? Like they had to test the pay in full, then they had to test the payment plan to get enough data. So, so yeah, all of this is about testing, but it's that value piece of you have to like start to recognize that the result that you help people get is not the same as you. Like, don't identify as your business, you know, which I think we could all stand
it's
to
so
hear
hard,
again.
Though, right? It's such a hard thing to do. Yeah,
it is.
So I find that the way you're even talking about this program fascinating because Kelly and I come from education. And I always tell people my master's in education helps me more as a business owner than anything else I've done, because most of what we're doing, like we're selling something, but who are you selling to? People. So you really have to understand people, and adults are not that much different than children. If I offended anybody with that statement that's listening to this, I apologize, but listen, honestly, I think young people are way better because they're so passionate still. Like where we get older, we start getting tired. We don't want to hear what you have to say, where, you know, but that understanding of how to work with people who are excited and passionate and driven is really not that much different than an 8-year-old.
It's really not. And you're right. Like I say all the time too, like my teaching career is the best thing I ever could have done for my business because there's so many different transferable skills. And that's absolutely one of them is know who's in the classroom, know who's in the audience. And in any business, because I mean, anytime you have staff, employees, contractors, like it doesn't matter. You have to be able to train those people, but you also have to be able to engage those people. And like at the end of the day, that's what teaching is. It's yes, being able to like transfer knowledge so that the student has the skill they need to have, but it's also getting them engaged so that they want to actually train that skill that you're asking them to train. So yeah, it's interesting. I'd say the same thing. You know, most adults are not that different than kids, just that the neural pathways are a little more formed, so they're a little less open. Yeah. Require a little more persuasion.
And do you find that, like I often... It's hard because you don't want to treat people like they're young, but a lot of times it's just, okay, why isn't this working? It's working for me. I understand it, but why isn't it working for them? You know, and figuring out what they're not understanding. Are they not seeing the value? Are they not understanding the steps that they need to take? You know, so when selling that program to a potential purchaser, client, do you find that you have to pivot what the person who's trying to sell it is saying versus what you think the person that's going to buy it can really understand? Does that make sense, that question?
Yes, it does. I mean, what you're saying is like there's what you're selling and then there's how you're selling it. And I like it like I like to think of it like the pill and the peanut butter. Do you guys have dogs?
Yeah.
Okay. So you know how when you have to give a dog a pill, you put it in peanut butter or cheese or like something, right? Yeah. It's like delicious and tasty and, you know, and then the medicine will go down. And oftentimes that's what happens, depending on the sophistication of the audience. Many times that's what's happening with marketing and selling the program is we have to give them the peanut butter. And then inside of the program, they're going to receive the medicine. Now we're going to make that medicine as easy to take as possible, but you guys know, like there's some things that in business, especially like if you're selling a business-based program, there's just no shortcuts. Like, it's just hard. It's just a thing you've got to do to see the other, to get to the other side. And so there are ways to be more persuasive, to make it easier for students to take action, to do the heavy lifting yourself. And, you know, I don't know if that answers your question, but I think of it like the pill and the peanut butter.
I love that. My 8-year-old just decided to finally try to swallow a pill because she doesn't like it. And she put it in a raspberry. And for me, I was like, oh my God, that feels like it'd be so difficult. She was like, that was great. She's like, I put it in a raspberry. I was like, wow. Don't even know.
8-year-olds can figure it out because they're not jaded like us. They can
figure out those things. Put it in a raspberry. So you had mentioned like workbooks. You know, she is the smartest. You mentioned like workbooks and deliverables and things like that. Do you help create those things for the client as well?
Oh, yeah. Like, our agency is fully done for you. So it's, think of it like ghostwriting a book where, you know, you talk to a ghostwriter, they interview you, and then they write your book. It's just like that, except we have more than just words on a page. We develop, yes, like the video scripts, but also the slides, the workbooks, the AI tools that are built on top of the curriculum, any resources, facilitator guides, client communications, surveys, you know, the actual portal that the program is housed in. So, like, I have a team of specialists and they all block and tackle their part of that process. But yeah, it's totally, totally done for you.
But how about, how long is that process? So if somebody is thinking about, they want to get involved, what's the timeline like?
It depends on how big the program is and how many like bells and whistles they want. On average, for what I call like a signature program. And a signature program usually has some kind of, really all programs at this point should have some kind of support structure involved, which is like a community and or coaching calls and or asynchronous support. And like there, it can look a lot of different ways, the support, but it's not just the curriculum, right? There's the curriculum and then there's some kind of client experience support structure around it. But yeah, a signature program can sell for anywhere from $997 to $30,000. Like, that's the range that we've built for clients and that's actively selling in right now. So, so yeah, that kind of process takes 4 months, including the videography and editing area of the wheelhouse. So it's pretty fast considering.
Yeah.
A lot of clients come to me and they're like, I've been trying to do this for 2-5 years. Like,
I would expect it to at least take a year from start to finish.
Right. I was thinking the same thing because we've only been talking about doing stuff like this for, you know, since 2014. So here we are 12 years later and haven't gotten really one done yet. So yeah, that makes sense.
Hey, but look, you've got a podcast. Like, you know, ladies should be proud of yourselves for everything that you are doing.
Well, I think we're also building the basis for that support, like you were talking about. We have that support system. So when we are ready to go out and sell those products, we have, you know, we have the audience for it. So we're just taking our time.
There you go.
Organic.
So yeah, that's the best way to
Organic.
Organic means I don't have time for that right now.
Yeah. I like that.
Getting real.
Organic growth.
Pretty much.
Selena's Mexican Restaurant, we are proud to be Rochester's favorite place for all of life's celebrations. Family owned and operated since 1998, we believe that great food brings people together. From fun Mexican-inspired dishes and delicious handcrafted margaritas to our monthly tequila classes, we love creating experiences you'll remember. With private event options, corporate team building, and 24/7 catering, we've got you covered no matter what life throws your way. Visit us at salinas.com, salenas.com.
So can you tell us and our listeners how you went from being a teacher to owning a business that creates teachable programs for others?
Yeah, I taught in Detroit, Michigan. I taught in the lowest performing school in the country at the time and loved my kids and loved like the act of imparting knowledge and like seeing the light bulbs go on. And personally, it was a tough role to be in for me. And I got through 4 years and then I was just like burnt out and I just couldn't do it anymore. So I pivoted into like health coaching because I'd been through some health struggles and I knew I could help people with that. And I really honestly spent like the first 4 years of business, what I call niche hopping, which is like trying to figure out my lane, like trying to figure out where I could provide the most value, what I enjoyed doing. And honestly, learning the fundamentals of business. Like I didn't know what marketing was. I didn't know what sales were. Like I knew how to help people get results, but all of the other stuff was totally foreign to me. So after those 4 years, I had helped people. I had really great retention rates. I'd run masterminds. I'd run programs across various different subjects. And my pivot into what we do now happened in 2020 when I bought a program about marketing and sales, because after 4 years, I knew I still had gaps. And it was a $7,500 program. I log into the client experience portal and it was just trash. Like it was so bad. I could not believe this guy was selling this for $7,500. And like he was posting on the internet that he had a multi seven figure business. Mm-hmm. And I saw the numbers of students in there and it like the math was mathing. I could not believe he was making this much money from such a shit program. Excuse my French.
No, go ahead.
But honestly, it was the best $7,500 I spent because I realized I had something that many experts don't have, which is knowing how to teach and how to get other people results. So then I pivoted into doing what we do now, which is program design, but for experts. And so some of our clients, like they do know how to market and sell and things. I was just talking to someone yesterday. He's been at this for 17 years and he's launched a ton of offers, seven-figure business, maybe multi-seven some years in the past, like very successful, well-known. And he's never really had a program that he felt super proud of because he doesn't have this skill set. So mm-hmm. like I have some clients like that. And then I have other clients who are just smart and know they don't want to take on everything that's involved in building a program. And they know they don't know how to teach well. And so at the beginning of their journey into this, they hire us. So, you know, kind of runs the gamut, but that's how I got here now. And we love it. It's very fun.
Please tell me that guy hired you. That would be like the perfect full circle if that guy.
Well, you want the real tea. I am drinking tea today, so I'll give you the real tea, which is I ran into him last year at an event and I didn't know he was going to be there and he didn't remember me. Like, you know what I mean? Like I'm one of thousands of students, like whatever. And we got into, he asked what I did. So I told him and we got into a conversation around like beta launching, which is, you know, you sell your program and then you build it. And his process for beta launching, which I could tell as soon as I logged in because it was so bad, was like, go on a walk and record yourself on audio, like a voice message, and then have a VA dub slides on top of the audio, which you guys know as teachers, like there's absolutely no design involved in that. It's just literally a ramble that someone puts shoddy visuals on top. And that's how he has been teaching all of his students for years to beta launch.
That's insane. And
it's insane. That's crazy. To me. And I said to him, I was like, that's actually not the best way to do it. Here's the best way to do it. And like, I broke it down for him. He wasn't having it. He like was, you know, but at least I tried. I tried for all my people out there. But yeah, I mean, it's wild. I mean, he's still selling that same program, I think.
Wow. Well, that is good tea.
I am not super surprised because I see successful people suck a lot, which as somebody with imposter syndrome, I always kind of like part of me is like, oh, see, you're not that bad. You actually know what you're talking about because you know more than this person who's making all of this money to tell people stuff that is not true or is old or is boring or whatever. And then I'm like, then why am I not making money, telling people better, more engaging, more relevant? So it's like that balance of of positive and negative responses.
Yep. And I think that comes down to like just the energy of how we treat us is how other people treat us. And so if we can see our own brilliance and value and count all the ways in a day that we are the best of the best, then other people will see that. I think the thing is, these people who aren't that great have like almost gaslit themselves into why they think they're so great. And then that's how everyone else shows up at that frequency, like you're so great, even though they might not be.
Right.
So, you know, exhausting. Yeah.
I mean, it's success, right? And in financial ways, but to me, it sounds exhausting. Mm-hmm. But that's just, I'm somebody that can't not be true to who I am in front of other people. So I'm like, oh my gosh, I would need so many naps to do that.
Yeah, it just doesn't sound fun either. It's not like
no.
Yeah.
So are there any tips or tricks or ideas you can give the listeners without giving out too much information and free advice? Because we do want people to also then go use you and your services. But, you know, maybe even if it's just kind of what is it? I mean, I think there's things that I know that I could speak to at length, but are they really relevant? I mean, they're relevant for my industry, but is my industry going to be the one that's buying this product? Is there any ideas or things you can talk to us about, like how to kind of hone in on what might be something good to focus on?
For sure. And, you know, the nice thing about having a done-for-you agency is I can literally give you all the free tips in the world. Like, I will give you everything because I do believe people can do this themselves. Like, I've seen it. I've seen people do it themselves and be successful. And if that's the best path forward for someone, then like, freaking go get after it. It might take long. It will take longer than hiring us, and the quality might be different. And sometimes that's the exact right place to start. So like, you know, for our listener out there, like, know that you are empowered to go do this yourself if that's what feels like the best move for you and your business right now. And in terms of a focus, Kelly, do you mean like a focus in the, like what kind of program to build? Or do you mean like how to develop
a program? Like just more like, how do you know when it's time? How do you know what to focus on as far as what to teach or what might be have value to people?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think a good indicator that it's time to productize what you know, at least to sell it, is if you are fully booked out. Mm-hmm. So for a lot of our like one-on-one service providers, that's their cue, or they're like 80-85% booked out and they're like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Sure.
Right. So that's one biggie. And then in terms of like where to get started, like ask your people, ask your audience. Like, it's so simple, y'all, but it's like the best thing to do. So you can do polls, right? You can do Instagram polls, Facebook polls, whatever. But the genius is not to do the poll, but then to talk to people who actually responded to the poll. Because you could have 100 people respond to your poll and only 20 of them are actually ideal clients. So those are the only 20 that you like responses that you want to pay attention to. Right? So that's That's one thing, is you can do polls. Same thing with surveys. You can send email surveys to your list. and then that way you're getting responses from people who've already opted in to be a part of your world. Same thing. Go filter through the lens of, is this person an ideal client or not, to see what you're giving weight to, which responses you're giving weight to. And then having like one-on-one conversations. Like, I know that AI, you can go and like do market research on AI, and I definitely use it for some things. But there is nothing like getting on the phone with a person, asking them some questions like, what are you struggling with right now? If I could wave a magic wand, what would the solution be like? Look like? Tell me more. Why did you say that? What does that mean to you? Like, follow-up questions to really get into the heart of the matter. That's gold right there. And
I'm so glad you brought that up. That is so important to have your audience. AI is not going to buy your product. It can give you ideas, but they're not buying your product.
No. So. And AI is only operating on what's on the internet, but what people, like their true feelings and beliefs and like all of that, the human element of it, I don't know how much that's on the internet. Right. So yeah. if you're just going to AI, it's just regurgitating everything else that's out there. But like, you don't want to be like everything else that's out there.
Well, and so, it's regurgitating it to other people too.
Yep. Giving you the same information. You got to follow your gut too, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's funny because you just brought up another skill set that I think teachers have to be proficient in, and that's actively listening. So really mm-hmm. getting the deep down and dirty of why something is working or not working is something you have to do on a regular basis. And that's a skill set that if people don't have, they can hire you for.
Yes. Yes. But yeah, you're right. It's like saying, it's like, what's the context and the subtext? Is that right? Yeah. I think a lot of people who've been teachers, not all of them, you know what it was like. It's like, so there's some good teachers and then there's some not so good teachers. But most the good teachers out there, they have that skill of being able to hear something and then hear what's not being said. And really good marketing is getting them to say the quiet part out loud. And when you can do that, it's like, get out of my head. You know,
Kelly, you have a t-shirt. Say the quiet part out loud. Kelly likes to come up with t-shirt lines in every episode.
I like that. That's fun. That's a good that's a conversation starter. You know, you walk into a networking event with that, wearing that, and people are going to come right up to you.
Cool. It's a super simple and easy way to understand marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So to circle to AI, which is ironic because we started off before we started recording that I am in an AI conversation with my 16-year-old.
Is that what we're calling it?
Sure. Because today we're conversing. Yesterday, probably not so much. And I see some benefits. Like I don't, in my industry, I don't need to rely on it. I use it to, you know, cut time, to make things simpler, to get things going faster. And like I explained to her, that time allows me to do other things because my schedule is very full. I have multiple jobs. I have 4 kids. I have a husband. I have a house. Like, so for me, I'm really only using it for those quick and easy, I just need to get this done, help me out. Right. As the young people look at it, you know, we kind of looked at the internet the same way, I think, back in the day, where it was, you know, what is the capability? What is the scary side? You know, what can this become? People are dumbing themselves down. You know, we said the same thing about the internet in general. I remember texting became a big deal and everyone's like, oh, the kids are going to be so stupid because they're texting. And it actually increased literacy rates. And nobody saw that happening because they had to know how to spell better because they didn't want to look bad to their peer, you know? So it was like, there are usually some kind of benefits that also outweigh things. But in your specific position, I imagine that there are ways that AI helps your business in significant ways. But I also imagine there's ways that it hinders. So can you talk on that at all?
Oh. How much time do we have?
as long as you'd like.
So a little background. My husband has an AI software and an AI mastermind. And I learned about what's currently happening with agentic AI in 2022, maybe. So, and I remember that moment of like, you know, a very well-known, respected man in the digital marketing industry who's built some brands that you would know. And he comes into our mastermind and he shares about this agentic AI thing that's coming. And it scared me to bits because I'm thinking, oh my God, my business is dead, right? Because it's like, okay, you have all these different agents and then there's an orchestrator and the orchestrator says, you go do this and you go do that. And then when the whole like video cloning, I want to say I learned about that in 23, that came out and like we saw where it was going, terrified. I was like, what in the world am I going to do? And I think a lot of it's really overhyped, to be honest. Like it's very good for certain things. And like you said, my favorite thing about it is because we've been able to use it in really strategic ways, it gives my team more time to actually do the human touch elements of program design that we didn't have time for before. Building out a career
that AI can't do.
And that's the part that AI can't do. And so, you know, when you think about building a program, there's the curriculum and there's the client experience. And the curriculum is what takes so long because you've got to write every video script. The client experience before was just kind of more like a nice to have. And now what's great is it gets to become a must have because this curriculum thing takes less time, still takes a lot of time, but takes less time. And yeah, I think that, so that's the perk of it is, you know, like we cut our production time by 40%, 36%, somewhere between 36 and 40% in 4 months, just by using automation and some AI. Mm-hmm. Like that's it. And then that also means my clients, their programs get done faster. They make money from them faster. People's lives are changed faster because they're done. There's this like cascading positive effect. I think the negatives, there are some negatives though. Like you're right. I think people are not thinking anymore. And I see it with my clients too. They come to me with an outline that's terrible, or they come to me with an offer that they've just flung into ChatGPT without knowing how to prompt, without having any like thought through it at all. And you know how like on social media we have the doom scrolling, right? I think people are doom chatting because
it gives them
prompts at the end that's like, oh well, I could do this next. And I've started to realize recently it's talking like a marketer where it's creating an open loop that they then want to close. So it's like keeping them on the chat. And it's like, no, like now you are becoming not a victim of, but this is a tool. And now the tool is using you, not the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I will pause in my rant. But
that's what social media became, right? It's just that AI became it faster because it already knew how to do it because nobody had done it before social media existed, right? Taking that tool that everyone was using as a tool and then being like, oh, how can we make this better ourselves and just loop everybody in and get them all stuck.
Right.
Which is so easy to do. We're so easily manipulated.
Hello, I'm Kelly.
And I'm Don. Looking for the perfect venue for your next event? We have what you need at the Union Tavern Restaurant and Event Space in Seabreeze.
Whether you're planning a large celebration for up to 120 guests or need a cozy, intimate space, we've got you covered. Check out the Brad Street, our hidden gem speakeasy, perfect for gatherings of up to 20 people.
With reasonable pricing, an exciting and inclusive menu, and no reservation fees for weekday groups, the Union Tavern makes hosting your event easy and affordable.
Celebrate in style right here at the Union Tavern.
Book today at the Union Tavern Seabreeze.com.
So not in your business per se, but overall in the general, you know, masterclass, programming, purchasing world, do you think that AI is going to take over the quality or consistency of those programs?
I think that there is going to be, I don't know if we've gotten to, you know, it gets worse before it gets better. I don't know if we've gotten to the peak of worse, but I do think that if you want to be in this expert industry in the future, you're going to have AI elements to your program. So things like custom GPTs, mini tools, you know, like that are like vibe coded, coach clones are really, really popular right now because people are getting used to having answers at their fingertips. They don't want to go and have to figure out what video to go to find the answer to that question that I have. So a lot of the linear learning journey that's been done up to this point is getting pivoted. And I think that's going to be really good for a lot of programs and for a lot of students. But in order to do that, in order to have all those AI tools and create that learning experience, it's all built on the foundation of a really solid curriculum. And most people don't have a really solid curriculum. And I think that the cream is going to rise to the top. And if you really have the goods and if you really double down on your personal brand and this industry in the next 3 to 5 years, it's going to be a lot harder to get into. on the other side of that 3 to 5 years. So if you're going to do it, like, now's the time to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good plug.
Can I write?
I'm just telling the truth, girl.
No, it's true. It is very true. And I agree with you, too. You know, it's AI. We talk about it in a lot of episodes. And we had interviewed an artist, I don't know, last year, maybe even 2 years ago. And we kind of talked about it. And he said, you know, how is, you know, AI affecting art and the art world? And it's, you know, yeah, there's some really tragic moments. But back when the synthesizer was created, people were terrified that orchestras were going to go away. And that was in the 80s, and they are still strong as ever. So I think, like you said, the cream of the crop will rise. And I mean, I know we've talked, and I have my phone next to me because I am babysitting today. So all the things we talked about are going to pop up in my social media when I go on later to do some work. So, I mean, I will find 10 programs offering something similar to what you do, not near the caliber, but that's just kind of how these things are going. But the ones that I'm going to actually make the choice for, I'm going to invest my money in, you know, for my business, are going to be the ones like yours. So I think now's the time to get involved, mm-hmm. like you said. Because there's a lot of nonsense out there.
Yeah. I wish there was some kind of standardization for programs. You know, like there's certain certifications for coaching, right? If you're an ICF coach that like has a certain amount of credentialing and standard. And I kind of wish there was this. I don't know what it looks like, but I kind of wish there was something like that for programs, because the marketing can look great. And then you get in and it's no bueno, you know?
I assume there's not a money back guarantee for these things.
No. I mean, many of them have them. In fact, that's like one of the ways to future proof your program against AI is to have a really, really against the saturation in the market as well, is to have a really great guarantee. So things like a results back guarantee, where if you don't get a result, you don't pay. Or I've even done guarantees on like consulting before, like if I've done like a promotion, like a JV promotion, and I'm gonna sell a mini audit or something for whatever, I'll say, if you don't get the result you're looking for in this 45 minutes or this hour, I'll double your money. So if it's $500, I'll send you $1,000 if you think it was not worth your money or your time, because I'm that good. Like you know what I mean? Like that's not a risk to me. So, and really with guarantees, like more people will buy because of it than take advantage of you for it.
I would
imagine. I mean, that's kind of a little roundabout way to get there. But yeah, I think, you know, having a really solid guarantee is a way to future-proof yourself in a sense.
Right. And like you said, it shows that you know that you are valued and you have value, and it's worth everything that you're charging.
Yep.
So how would you suggest, when we're online and these things pop up and it's like, hey, you should check out this masterclass or check out this program, how are there things that pop out to you that you're like, oh, I can tell that's awful because of XYZ just on like first look, other than that guy's name?
I do look at the guarantee. I think that's, people can really make a stand for themselves there. I don't pay attention to social proof as much as most people would think, because I've just seen how people use it. People will use social proof from one program to sell a separate one. So like, you know, I have my signature program and I have a lot of testimonials from that. I'm going to stick that testimonial on this new program that I've never launched before. Right?
Gotcha.
And I also think that everyone enters the learning journey at different points. So, you know, if you have 10 people join your program, there might be 2 or 3 that are like perfectly positioned to get a result in like a week. And those are the 3 that you share, but not the other 7 who it took them 6 months or a year or however long it took. So I suppose when you're looking at social proof, it might be wise to look for the people who are starting where you're starting. Not just the big number, oh, you know, I made 6 figures in my first 6 months after taking this program, but like actually look at the people and see who has a business that was in the same place as you're starting right now when you join that program. and I also think that anyone who's offering, like, you know, you've seen like the bonus stacks. It's like this bonus, bonus one and two and three and four and da 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 da. Uh-huh. I think that's losing its power nowadays. Because it's hard to, unless the bonuses are easier to deliver, things that you can just like ship someone or things that you can, you know, it's a PDF or something. Like, it's really hard to deliver on that many bonuses. And I see a lot of people who have great intentions and create a really awesome offer stack and then can't deliver on it because they promised a little too much. So I don't know. Those are some things. Does anything stand out to you guys, like that you've seen on a sales page or a checkout page? You're like, I'm not buying because that sounds dodgy.
I don't know. I think, look, what you said, when I go into something, I look and it's like, and this add-on and this add-on. I'm like, no, this is no. You, and I feel like that's kind of like what you talked about before, where AI or things like ChatGPT, or not calling them out because they can sponsor us if they'd like. But where you know, yeah, those prompts keep, they can't until
they can't until she goes back on Instagram,
right? Until she's back on Instagram. I think she would understand for that reason. But you know, those prompts that keep happening and happening, like, oh, I've got this great idea, I'm putting into AI to see if it's really something worthwhile and if I can get, you know, some preliminary outline for it. And then, well, what about this? But what about this? Have you tried this? I can do this for you next. And that's, to me, when I see those programs, I'm like, this was not created by a human. Maybe started with a human, but this is not somebody's time and effort. And that's what I want to pay for, not a computer program that mm-hmm. was just generated without much input other than, yes, do that.
So
this, one in three.
Because it's relevant to this conversation, my husband had a half a master's when we bought the business, and we stopped paying for him to go to school because we were a little busy and the master's was in like not nonprofit administration, which is not a restaurant, you know, process. So it didn't make sense. So he wanted to finish his master's recently. So he started going back to school, just one class a semester. And I fully support it. The last class he signed up for, he quit. Because he was already struggling that classes don't happen in person really anymore. So his class last time was virtual. And it was like they only logged in like every other week, you know, so it was all directed learning, self-directed learning in between. And then you would log in twice a month, right? And your semester is only how many months long? So you're seeing these people on a screen maybe six times. Well, this class he signs up for, and the teacher had all slide decks. Everything was pre-recorded. It was essentially the same class he's given X number of times before. And there's zero interaction whatsoever. And it was mm-hmm. like, this is the day the things do, you're done. And he was like, I'm paying all this money. Like, I could read a slide deck on Google. Like, I could go look it up some, like, what's... So I find it fascinating that even, you know, higher academics are falling back on this robot-driven sense of we can just regurgitate things over and over again. And I love the fact that most of what you've talked about is the personal element that's needed for people to be able to learn something new. Most people are not going to learn off a slide deck on the computer and not being able to ask questions, not being able to engage and hear other people's opinions. Like, that's just not how we learn as human beings. So I love... I
mean, you guys know, socialize the learning. Like, this mm-hmm. is like pedagogy 101. It's like, okay, so I learned something, but how do I actually learn it on a level that I can apply it, or learn it on a level that I can synthesize it? It's, well, you have to talk about it with other people. So if you think about any seminar that you've been to, like personal development, business development, that's why they always have the, what we used to have in the classroom, turn-in talks. Well, at least I taught kindergarten, so we had turn-in talks. You know, it's like, yeah, you talk to your partner. What were your, and every break, it's every time we finish a chunk of content, okay, what were your takeaways? What are your questions? What are your breakthroughs? Like, there's a reason why that stuff works. There's a reason why you go to a Tony Robbins seminar and you come out changed, like behaviorally. Mm-hmm. There's a lot involved there that you can't get if you just listen to a self-paced program. Now, can self-paced programs get people results? Absolutely. Like, I have taken self-paced programs where I go in, I like watch the three videos I need, I get my result, and I'm out. Like, completion-wise, I look like a terrible student, but I got the result I was looking for because it solved the problem that I needed to solve. I just needed something, a resource or a skill or a tool or something. And So it's like, I don't want to like paint all self-paced programs with a broad brush that like they never work or they're never the right solution, because sometimes they are. But I think it comes back to that design element of like knowing your student, knowing the result, and like then delivering a program that meets those things. And so, you know, we think about higher education, people, you know, most college students are not coming into college to just sit and watch a video. That's not, if we think about them as the audience, that's, I don't think, what they want. However, if we consider a really busy business owner who wants to, I don't know, like launch a podcast, well, maybe having some video training is the best thing for that person with a little bit of human engagement involved, right? So it always comes back down to that like foundational principle of like, who are you designing for and what's the result they're trying to get?
Yeah, 100%. Well, I'm ready, Kelly. I don't know about
I'm
you.
I'm ready. Yeah.
I don't know what we're gonna sell or promote or create, but I'm ready.
I've been sitting in a recliner since January 27th. I've got so many ideas and I'm ready. We work best when we can feed information off of each other. So I could have been putting it into AI this whole time, but I've been waiting to meet with Kelly one-on-one so we can get some of these ideas into paper, because I've been, you know, my little forced retirement I've had for the past couple weeks. I've got lots of ideas. And
for the folks that are our listener here, if there's something that you would like to learn from Kelly and Kelly, reach out to them and let them know what it is. There is a problem. What is a problem that you're currently having that you think that they could solve? And what would your ideal solution look like? Because if you do that, chances are when they build that program, they're going to hit you up and you're going to get to be a founding member and you're going to get the best deal on the planet. So
true. So true. I love it. Thank now, if somebody was interested in hiring you, is there like a consultation or like one of the first steps?
Yeah. So the first step, well, you can go to our website, right? We have our services guide on our website. And then the easiest thing to do is just book a discovery call with me. And we talk about your idea and we talk about what you want to put out there and like, does it have legs? And I'll be honest, like, probably 30% of the people who I talk to, I tell them you're not ready. And that's the best thing I could do to be of service to them, because I don't want them to start something too soon and then they feel a sense of failure and then they don't get their dream. Right. So they're very much like discovery calls or consultative calls so that I can give my feedback and wisdom just based on the 140 programs we built. And then from there, if it does make sense to work with us, we talk about what that looks like.
It sounds so easy.
It can be that easy, though, because Jasmine has made it that easy.
That's the whole thing. We're like, how do we make it easy for experts to teach what they know and get paid for it? Mm-hmm. And that's what we do.
Well, thank you so much, Jasmine. And how do they reach you?
You can go to our website. It's creation.co. It's with an 8, so creation.co. And I'm sure I'll send you guys links to put in the show notes.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
All right, I've got some work to do.
Always. Why do we keep doing this? We should stop interviewing people.
Stop interviewing like these people that give us amazing ideas.
I know. And then I'm like, wow, you're lazy. You should go do this.
No, but what she does doesn't make more. I mean, it's work in some level, but it's helpful work. Like, she's going to help us. And well, I know my brain's already going.
It's not necessarily a cheap answer. But I know that we've talked about programming and what we're experts at and creating content from that for at least 4 years.
Uh-huh.
Honestly, since 12 years, but like significantly talked about like diversifying for 4 or 5 years. So if you broke up what she charges into that and she turns it around in 4 months, like that's insane.
It's a worthwhile investment for sure. And I'm sure there's different levels and layers to all of that, but it's great that you had that first initial consult where she's honest with you. Just so important. It's another reason why you can trust somebody like her and her team. I'm sure they're all very trustworthy.
Yeah. And I think that we are all fucking experts at something.
And we talk about that at almost every bossy meeting. You have to say what you're a fucking expert at. So all of our membership knows. So
I hope she gets all the calls. Is real, but you have to look around you and think, if these people that I know are half-assing it, and they know half as much as I do on this topic, are making money off of it, then why shouldn't you, who knows so much more, be also making money off of it?
I agree.
You deserve it. You are worthy. Mm-hmm. You are worthwhile. And if you're not going to talk to her about it, you should at least really sit down and consider the topics that you are a fucking expert at. Maybe even do a speaking engagement somewhere, write a blog post, share it on social, just kind of feel it out. And see how you feel about talking about it.
I think it's a great start.
Well, you can reach out to Jasmine and her team, creative.co with an 8, which I love.
Love that.
Let's get it. Yeah. Creative. It's really easy to remember.
It really is.
Get your discovery call or not. Use AI if you need it or not. I actually want to share with you a funny AI pivot since we were talking about that in the interview. Mm-hmm. So the other day, we're doing a partnership with the Red Wings. And you know my husband loves a good pun.
Mm-hmm.
So I was sharing images and I was like, do you guys need copy? Are you going to write it yourself? They're like, oh yeah, send us the copy. So I was like, okay, Aaron, I need baseball-themed Selena's copy. So we're bouncing it back and forth and we come up with some really fun puns. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to see what chat would say. So I typed in the same question to chat. It came out. I was like, no, none of them were any good.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, see me. And I'm like, well, I get it. Like, I know because it doesn't have your knowledge base. So then I plugged in our ideas under the same prompt and was like, what about these? And it actually just streamline them enough for social. And it was like, for social media, you want to break this sentence into this. Mm-hmm. So it didn't change the content, but it actually reformatted it.
Right.
Which I thought, I was like, okay, so that was useful. Mm-hmm. So I'm sorry. I used it. It wasn't today because I wasn't on my break from social, from chat, but
right.
I found it fascinating as a good example.
Yeah.
For things that can do well and things it cannot.
Right. It's pros and cons.
So use your AI if you need it. Be smart about it.
But still use your brain. It's there. Yeah, it needs there constant exercise.
AI is not a fucking expert. You are.
That's right. That's right. So yeah, reach out to us and let us know what you think. Let us know if you like this episode. Let us know if you have ideas on what we should be putting out there as some deliverables. And we'd love to hear from you at bossyrock@gmail.com.
And bossyrock.com.
Mm-hmm.
So it all works. You can follow us on the socials that we're on, which sometimes vary, but right now it's Facebook and Instagram, Bossy Rochester. And be bold.
Be brave.
Be the boss.
Be the boss.
Be a fucking expert.
Yeah. Be a fucking expert, boss.
This has been a presentation of the Lunch Hour Podcast Network.